We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, he is here, Carl Zachariah, of course, Zachariah Brown Law for the Elderly. So we're talking wills, estate, power of attorney. If you have any questions, the last time he was here on the lunch hour on a Saturday, the phones did not stop ringing. So call us now. And we're in that transition. A year is winding down. When we start a new year, all sorts of things come up and play. And more importantly, if it's a will, something you've never done before, and you're at that stage in your life where it's long overdue, and don't feel bad, we've all been there. Call us right now, 866-391-1020. And I'm going to tell you at the outset, you can call and leave your name and number at their wonderful office at 724-942-6200. And they're located in McKeesport, McMurray, Wexford, and yes, with the snow coming this week, Bradenton, Florida, and Pompano Beach, Florida. And they are wonderful people because they do make a difference every day. Again, that number, 866-391-1020. Every single line is wide open. Anything on your mind, we will talk to you right now. PittsburghElderLaw.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Zachariah Brown. And here is attorney Carl Zachariah. Good afternoon, counselor.
Hey, Rob, how are you doing today? What a beautiful day today, huh?
Gorgeous day.
This is great. And I'm glad to be doing these Saturday shows. We're going to be doing, I guess, two Saturdays a month now.
Nice.
Instead of the Tuesday nights, we're going to switch over to Saturday afternoon. So I'm really looking forward to it because that last show we did, it was fantastic. We had so many callers. But if anybody out there has any questions about anything related to elder law, estate planning, estate work, now's your chance. Give me a call and let's talk about your issue. You know, and something, I see this every single day. And people have what I call preconceived notions about the right thing to do. And this isn't one case. This is about 10 cases from last week where somebody called and they said, well, my mom is in her 90s. She's at home. She needs a lot of help. We're looking at getting her money from the VA because my dad was in World War II or Korea or something like that. And after talking with them for, you know, about 20 minutes, that's not the best answer for them. There's much better answers for them. And in this particular case or cases, it often comes down to a program like Life Pittsburgh or Community Life or Senior Life, depending on when you live, these life programs where you can get care at home. And they have a center that they can go to as well, and they see all their doctors, all the drugs, everything's paid for. And it's such a much better program. There are just so many things out there. And that's what we do that I think a lot of people don't see us as doing that. It's much more than law. It's counseling about what's the best program for your family based upon, you know, that's our job. All the knowledge that we have about the long-term care businesses and programs in this area.
All right, number to dial is 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Joanne in Stanton Heights, we're going to get to her in a moment. But again, if you have any questions that have to do with elder law, which means, tell them what elder law means.
It's everything from estate planning, which is wills and trusts and powers of attorney, to programs to help pay for long-term care, like veterans benefits and a lot of it's Medicaid, and you know, probate issues and estate administration and trust and just all the issues associated with getting older.
And listen, one of the things they're very proud of, and whenever Colleen Brakovich is here, one of her many specialties, we love talking about the VA too, right?
Absolutely.
All right, let's get going. 866-391-1020. Lines are open right now, all but this one. We'd love to hear from you. Any question, and if you're out there, you're a senior, and you have questions about property tax, power of attorney, wills, all of it, call us right now. Here is Joanne in Stanton Heights. Hey, Joanne, how are you? Good afternoon.
I'm good, Rob. I was calling, if you have a will and you're having it witnessed by two friends or whatever, you also need a notary to witness it?
Well, in Pennsylvania, you can take a sim. I'm not recommending this, but you can take what I'm about to say, I'm not recommending. But in Pennsylvania, you can have a handwritten will as long as it identifies that it is your will and it expresses what you wish and who's in charge, the executor, and you sign it. That's good enough to be a will. Now, that said, if you have two witnesses, if you don't, if you just do that, you need to bring two people in to the Register of Wills or the Department of Court Records in Allegheny County who are familiar with the deceased person's signature and will sign an affidavit and an oath that they know the person's signature and that's authentic. Now, if you have a will with just two witnesses and not notarized, then the witnesses have to sign an oath that they are familiar with, that they witnessed it, that they saw their signatures and that's it. And you have to find these people. But if you have two witnesses and a notary, you don't need anything more. So it's a lot easier just to have it notarized.
Okay. Do you have to pay the notary?
Well, it depends on where you get it done. I mean, it's all part of our service. We provide the witnesses and the notary, and it's all included in what we do.
Oh, okay.
But some notaries do charge. If you go down the street to find a notary, yes, they charge a few dollars. It's not a whole lot.
Okay. All right. That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
You realize what you're doing for my listeners today. Thank you for coming today. I mean, you do such good stuff. The phones are already lighting up like an early Christmas tree. So let's go to Mary and Beaver, unless your tree's already up. Here's Mary. How are you, Mary? Welcome to the show. You're on the air with Carl Zachariah.
Thank you. Hello. I want to give my kids some money, and I want to know how much can I give them that they wouldn't have to pay taxes on.
Well, that's a loaded question. are you talking about the gift tax?
Yes, I guess that's what it is.
Okay, you're going to laugh whenever I tell you the answer.
Okay.
No more than $11.4 million.
Well, I don't think I want to. I don't love them that much.
If it wasn't for that final quarter of a million, you'd be okay, right, Mary?
Oh, son of a gun.
There is a lifetime in it.
I'll have to adopt another kid.
Hey, Mary, I'm available. Go ahead.
There is a gift tax exemption. Actually, I think I have the number wrong. I think it's like 11.56.
Is that a fact, though?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's the gift tax, and it's tied in with the federal death tax. So your lifetime gifting exemption is $11.4 million, and that is your death tax exemption as well. And if you're married, you double those.
Okay.
So during your lifetime, if you give away, $2 million, you file a gift tax return, they lower your lifetime exemption to 9.4 and your death exemption to 9.4 as well. But it's incredibly high. In 2025, it's expected to drop back down to about $5.5 million, but still $5.5 million.
Well, I definitely don't have that kind of money. I was hoping for something at least below $10,000.
Well, the exemption is $15,000. You don't even have to file a return if it's $15,000 or less.
Oh, I can give them $15,000.
Yeah, for tax purposes, yes.
Okay.
And if it's to a child of yours and they're married, then you give them $30,000.
Okay.
Yes. Okay,
then I can give each. I have four children. I can give each one of them $15,000. Then.
That and not have to worry about gift taxes. Although I don't really think most people have to worry about gift taxes anyway.
Okay, that works for me then.
Okay.
Well, thanks.
Hey Mary, for what it's worth, I've been driving through your hometown like in the 3 a.m. hour on the weekend since Mayor Tom Hamilton put the lights up with your great people that work there. Beaver has never looked better. So you live in a wonderful town.
Yes, I do. It's a very nice town to live in. So.
It is. Well, listen, have a wonderful day, okay?
Well, thank you for the information.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Listen, we got Chuck in the North Hills, Jim and Shaler, Brad and Clarion. We have an open line right now. I can't stress enough, though, if you don't get through today, going to be a very busy hour. We do have room right now, but the phones are filling up quickly. Call this number. You can do it now. Leave a working number that they can reach you next business day, obviously next week, and give them your name and number. If you want to throw in where you're from, that's fine, too. But it's important, first and last name and a phone number, a working number that they can get to you during the business day, of course, starting Monday morning. 724 724-942-6200. PittsburghElderLaw.com, 724-942-6200. If you want to join us, 866-391-1020. All right, Carl Zacharias, so happy to have him in the noon hour today. We're going to do this on a semi-regular basis, and obviously the audience responding, 724-942-6200, their number. Now, our number is 866-391-1020. Here's a very important question from Chuck about elder law in the North Hills. Chuck, how are you? Welcome to News Radio KDKA. How are you?
I was in the Army between 64 and 66. I've heard there's some kind of a help that I can get for a home care for myself and perhaps even for assisted living from the Veterans Hospital. And that's what I wanted to – I just heard about something or other. I just wanted to ask you about it.
Yeah. It's a program called Aid in Attendance, and you served during Vietnam. So you had to serve one day.
I was not in Vietnam. I was stationed stateside, 64 to 66.
And Vietnam was going on then, so that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be overseas.
Pardon me?
You did not have to be overseas.
No, I was stationed stateside.
That's fine. You were on the team. That's all that matters.
What's the name of the program again?
Aid, A-I-D, and Attendance. And in fact, Rob mentioned Colleen Brackovich. She's an attorney in our office. She's been accredited by the VA for at least a dozen years.
She's really great, Chuck. You should call direct and ask for her.
Okay. Can I do that? What's her name? Brackovich.
Brackovich. Bratkovich.
Just say Colleen when you call.
Colleen's good enough, yeah.
Okay. What's the phone number down there again, sir?
724-942-6200.
942-6200.
Correct.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And while you're listening, I also have on our webpage, PittsburghElderLaw.com, I wrote a book about 15 years ago. It's been updated. And on our webpage, you can actually look at that book and read that book. You'll see the picture of a silhouette of an older man, an older woman. And Chapter 12 talks about VA benefits. So that's a good place to go to read up about it over the weekend. It's actually the live book, like a image thing that you flip through the pages. Or you can buy it on Kindle, too. It's available on Kindle. So,
what made you write that book?
Trying to explain Medicaid to married couples is a horribly complicated task. And so I was going to write a brochure, which was starting to be a very long brochure, 45 pages. Let's just add to it and make a book, and that's kind of what happened.
Well, that's good. All right, listen, phones just keep ringing. We keep moving right back to them. Here's Jim and Shaler. Jim, you're on News Radio KDK with Carl Zacharias, Zachariah Brown, PittsburghElderLaw.com. How are you, Jim?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm fine, thank you. Question with regard to husband and wife with separate wills. The wife has a will that spells out assets going to certain individuals. The husband has his own will and has assets that go to the other people that he wants. But I think the cumulative thing was to eventually have all the children, their children, get the assets, remaining assets. So does that mean that if the wife would pass away first, does that mean that the husband has to abide by that will, or does he lose whatever assets the wife has given away?
Well, you know, in fact, this is a great, great, great question, because it's a cause of a lot of strife in people's lives. You know, there are several ways assets pass when you pass away. And for most married couple, well, there's through your will, which is an asset that's in your name alone, just your name. The second way is joint ownership. You and your wife own your home together. You and your wife have bank accounts together. One of you dies, that asset goes to the surviving owner, unless it specifically says otherwise. It goes to the surviving joint owner. And the third one is people's largest account is their IRAs and annuities and life insurance. There's a beneficiary associated with that. That goes to those people, not through your will. So if you and your wife have everything jointly, and she's a beneficiary of your things, and you're the beneficiary of her things, one of you passes away, that will is not used. And only the surviving will.
Yeah, that's my assumption. I didn't want to get it wrong. So basically, if the husband and wife own everything jointly, which is, I assume, the typical scenario, it certainly is in our situation, and the wife has a will that says, you know, da-da-da-da, so does the husband have to abide by that will and say, I'm just clarifying. Abide by that will and say, okay, guys, here's what your mother wanted you to get, or cousins, or whomever. Does he have to do that, or does he say, these are all my assets here, so nobody gets nothing?
There's no legal obligation to follow her will. If she dies before you do and everything is jointly held between the two of you and you're the beneficiary and everything comes to you, her will has no power at all.
Oh.
It's your will now, just your will. I just did one for a married couple, second marriage, and we put in the, and each will is identical, and they both say that when one of us passes away, everything will be owned by the surviving spouse, but we have an agreement that when the second one dies, everything gets split 50-50 down the middle, one half to one family and the other half to the other family.
Right.
Yeah, so you have to be very careful with what you're looking at there, because one of your wills will not apply.
Then why would, Jim, great question here. Well, then why would you have separate wills?
Well, you have to have separate wills.
Well,
a will's only for an individual. One person dies, their will gets probated.
But the surviving person, that's the will that's good.
Well, whenever they die, yes.
Right, okay. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense, Jim?
I mean, yes, oh, absolutely. I would just, someone had brought that up, but our scenario that we have a will, and a will defines what we do with our assets. And so me and my wife are listed, and it clearly states that if I die first, she dies first, whatever. But it's just like you described, the assets are whomever survives. That's their assets that they can do whatever they wish with it.
Yeah, so
I understand that that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, you want to be very careful just to avoid the hardship and the fights over this. We're working on a program that I hope to have done by January or February. It's going to be a web page where for our clients, I'm doing about 20 to 30 short 1 or 2 minute videos to talk about all these things so people can understand.
Oh, okay.
If you have a home and an IRA and they're both worth, say, $200,000, and you have one child is the beneficiary of the IRA, and the other child is the beneficiary of is named as to inherit the home. When you die, that sounds like it's fair, but it's problematic because the one child that's getting the IRA has to pay inheritance taxes and income taxes on that IRA. The one who's getting the home has to just pay inheritance taxes, but they've got to come up with the cash to pay for those inheritance taxes. So that's a plan that's not very well thought out. It could be done better. And so that's something that we're looking to do.
In our case, it's a thing that says, okay, here's all the assets and here's what it's worth. Divide that by X amount of people, and that's what everybody gets, regardless if it's an IRA, a home, a car, whatever.
That's a better way to do things, yeah.
All right.
And then this way. Can I ask another question?
Jim, I've got literally like a minute. Make it quick, please.
Okay. If you sell your home and you don't want to live in your home anymore and you buy an RV and you're going to live in that RV, is that RV considered a home?
It's considered, I guess it's going to be on a piece of land somewhere.
It's a residence, right?
It'll just travel around.
Well, you don't really have a mailing address.
Well, if you get a P.O. box, doesn't that solve the issue?
I guess maybe? It does, yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know if it makes any difference if it's your home or not.
Jim, you're working overtime today, buddy. Your brain,
hey Jim,
good
stuff.
Send
me, if you have questions, send me an email, Carl, C-A-R-L, at PittsburghElderLaw.com.
Okay,
I'm going to be around all weekend.
Thanks for your help.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thank you for the call. So my question was this. If you have one will and you're a married couple, and the survivor who's ever left behind becomes power of attorney and everything that you've agreed upon and put in that will, why would you need two wills?
Because let's take a married couple, Bob and Mary.
Okay.
Bob dies.
Right.
Well, you can't have a will with him and Mary because Mary's still alive.
Okay.
So Bob dies. It's his will that gets probated. It's just for an individual, just one person. What people will do is they will create a revocable living trust owned jointly and put everything into that and have that trust now manage, say, who manages it, who's in charge, who gets what. When one dies, who gets what when the other one dies? And that's a good way of managing things because a trust is like a contract.
He's Carl Zachariah, 724-942-6200. First and last name, leave a working number. They can reach you first thing on Monday. We've got John in Shadyside, Terry in North Hills, Brad in Clary in Pennsylvania, and room for one more at 866-391-1020. Listen, I'm just going to have enough time to give you their number and remind you, if you cannot get through right now, every single line is on hold, 724-942-6200. Just call. Leave your first and last name, working phone number. They'll get back to you. Should I add anything else to that, or is that enough?
Yeah, if anybody wants to send me an email this weekend, I mean, I'm not watching the Steelers game tomorrow.
Listen, knowing you, you'd get back to me at
midnight.
I will.
It's carl@pittsburghelderlaw.com.
All right, there you go. Let's go to John Shadyside. John, News Radio, KDK, Carl Zachariah, Zachariah Brown, PittsburghElderLaw.com. Good afternoon.
Hey, hey, hey. Thanks for the free advice. I have a simple question. Maybe it's a complicated answer. How do you leave a house to a son or daughter and avoid the inheritance tax and all the other taxes?
Good question. We get it often.
Yeah, yeah. And so here's the thing. You have one of two taxes you can choose. And the one tax is the inheritance tax, and that is 4.5% to your children. It's 4.5% of the fair market value of that house when you die. And so if you die and your children sell your house, it's 4.5% of whatever they sell it for. A lot of people will want to take their house and put it into their children's name. There is another tax associated with that, not the inheritance tax. And that other tax is the capital gains tax. So you look at, what did you pay for that house when you bought it? And then what do they sell it for after you pass away? And you take the difference, the sales price minus what you paid for it, which is called your basis. Your tax is typically 20% of that difference. In addition, the state of Pennsylvania has gotten very tough on everybody recently. They are taking the position that if you put your house into your kid's name and you continue to live there, that is an implied life estate, that you intend to keep it for the rest of your life, and they want their inheritance taxes. They've done that on several cases that we've had for people that put their house into their kid's name, they continue to live there, and then when they die, nobody claims the house on the tax return, but the state does. They come back and they say, you had this house, they continued to live on it, pay the taxes, or prove to us that the person did not live in there any longer. And that's often not easy to do because it's not the case. So you got to watch that.
You have a follow-up, John? You good with that, or you have something else?
I have a follow-up. Who pays the inheritance tax if they're still living in it? The parent or the son or daughter?
Well, the parent is deceased. If the children are inherited, then the parents passed away. So it would be the people inheriting.
I mean, if they still live in it, does it? I'm confused. If they still live in it, they pay the inheritance tax, right?
If the children live in the house.
No, if the parent does.
Well, you're not talking about, the house won't go to them until you're dead, and then it goes through your will to your children. So there's no issues until you've passed away. They don't inherit it until you're gone.
All right, let's keep it going. Let's go to Mary Lou in Ross, changing a will for Zachariah Brown, Carl Zachariah. Go ahead, Mary Lou.
Hi. I have a will that was written by an attorney, and there's a paragraph in that will that I would like to strike out. Can I strike that out, initial it, and have it notarized, and will that fly when I pass away?
Anytime there's a handwriting or an erasure on a will and you want to have it admitted to probate, there's a special petition called a petition to admit the will despite interdelineations and deletions. And so that you're asking that the will be admitted to probate, even though there's handwriting on it or something's scratched out or something's erased. So that's a special procedure that adds a little bit of time and a little bit of delay to probating the will by doing it that way. If you can,
okay,
you'd be better off just to have it redone and have that paragraph taken out.
We have a living trust.
Okay.
Of which our son is the sole beneficiary. So would that still have to go to probate since we have a revocable living trust?
If the assets are titled in the name of that trust, when you're both gone, it will go to your son.
Yeah, okay.
But if there's assets not in that trust, if there's some asset that's not in the trust, you have a bank account or an investment account that you never actually had retitled into the trust, those go through your will. So if you have a trust, you need to make sure everything's in that trust, in the name of that trust.
Okay, so since it's a revocable trust and everything goes to him, which we have put everything in that trust, would I still have to have that particular document if I cross a paragraph out and say omit and initial that and have it notarized?
A paragraph in the will or in the trust?
In the will.
Well, if you have a trust, you may never use that will.
Oh, okay.
Most wills are called pour-over wills with a trust, and I analogize it to a legal pooper scooper, which sounds ridiculous, but it's a tool that you have available, but you really don't want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everything's in the name of the trust, then you don't need that will. But if something's left out and something's forgotten about or something comes after the fact, then that will says whatever else they have goes into the trust.
We only have one child, you know, and everything that we have is in that revocable trust. So you're saying that the will is null and void then?
No, unless some other asset comes along that's not in that trust, yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, sure.
All right, FM 100.1 AM 1020 News Radio KDK, Carl Zachariah, the law firm, Zachariah Brown, Christine Brown Murphy, Ben Urso, Colleen Brakovich, Justin Ellis, and Jen Derby. And the entire staff, they're there to serve you. They're located in McKeesport, McMurray, Wexford, and he has two offices for you snowbirds in Bradenton and Pompano Beach, Florida, 724-942-6200. I think I'm getting carpal tunnel answering all these phones here today. Let's go to Terry in the North Hills, but that's a good thing. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, I guess it is, right?
Yep.
I'm doing okay. Wife's probably doing better. She's has since passed. And she ran up a lot of debt on the credit card, different things, in her name only. The house is in both of our names and the credit guys. What is my responsibility to the creditors?
Your name's not on the contract of that credit card?
No, it is not.
And the purchases made weren't made by you?
No.
Yeah, well, the credit cards are kind of out of luck then. In Pennsylvania, there are more than just the family members can actually open an estate, and a creditor can do so as well, petition the court to let them open up an estate, but there's got to be assets to pay those credit cards. And if there are no assets because the house was owned jointly and she had no assets in her name alone, they're pretty much out of luck.
Okay, thank you for the call. Let's go to Brad in Clarion, 866-391-1020. Here's Brad up next, News Radio KDK. Good afternoon, Brad.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple questions.
Okay.
I had my will made out, and one of my son-in-laws was the executor on that. A couple months ago, he passed. And I was wondering what the procedure is to put one of my sons on there.
So if the executor passed, normally in most wills, that people will list an alternate in case that happens, a second person to be the executor. So make sure you have or don't have that. And if you don't, then the decision on who will be the executor is made by the majority of the beneficiaries. So they decide amongst themselves who will do that task.
I see. The next question would be, if I take my deed and put all my kids' name on the deed, would I still need an executor?
Well, whether you need an executor or not depends on the circumstances. But you know, as I mentioned in the caller earlier, putting your kids' names on your deed can sometimes be a bigger tax problem and a bigger problem than just leaving it the way it is. The state of Pennsylvania takes the position that if you continue to live in that house, and they don't, then when you die, they still want their inheritance taxes. Even if you get past that, the bigger problem is the capital gains taxes. If you have a house you paid $40,000 for it and now it's worth $240,000, if you give it to your kids and it's not their home, when they sell it after you're deceased and they sell it for $240,000, they've got to pay capital gains taxes on that gain. In my example, that gain is $200,000, $240,000 sales price minus the $40,000 basis, and that's
so
like
a
40,000
more than I paid for it, and I had it on and remodeled and everything. Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, a good estate attorney like us can help you. We can help you with tenfold. Whenever I first went into business decades ago, my dad's CPA said to me, he said, who's doing your taxes? I said, I do it myself because I can't afford you. He said, yes, you can. Let me see your tax return from last year. No charge. I gave it to him. He said, you have a $6,000 refund coming. You paid way too much. You missed this. I said, what do you charge? He's like $700. I said, you're hired. and I've used them every year since. So, you know, a good professional can help you save tenfold.
Yes, when you can get a pro, let the pros do it, and that's what they are when it comes to elder law. Zachariah Brown, PittsburghElderLaw.com, 724-942-6200. Only one more segment left. So if you've been wanting to get an open line, now would be the time to call us. Elder Law, whatever is on your mind, we'll keep it going just until 1 o'clock, and then get well naturally just for a half hour today because we've got Pitt football and Clemson today. FM 100.1 AM 1020, News Radio KDKA. A loaded phone bank again. We're going to try to get to as many of you as we can in the next 7 minutes. But if we don't, when you're done and I don't get to you, hang up and call them directly. 724-942-6200. Call that number now. First and last name and a working number. They can reach you on Monday during business hours, 9 to 5. 724-942-6200. All right, let's go to Sally. You're up next on News Radio KDK. Sally, how you doing? Hey, Sally. Where's Sally? Okay, let's move on then. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm great.
Go ahead.
I bought, about a year before my mother passed away, I bought her house for a dollar. And I've been living in it for 6 years, because I lived in it for 3 years before she passed away. But anyway, I wondered, if I sold this house, what would my tax implications be?
Well, you know, John, because it is your home, it is exempt from capital gains taxes up to, I think, about $550,000 or something like that. So,
okay, not even close.
Okay, so yeah, so you don't have any. That was actually a good thing because it's your home, and your home, when you sell your home, it's exempt from capital gains. Capital gains comes into play whenever somebody takes their home and they put in their kids' names, and the kids don't live there. It's not their home. Now it's an investment property. So you're okay.
Yeah. You kind of scared me with that last question.
It's complicated.
You're good. Okay, let's go to Pete calling from Penn Hills. Hey, Pete, how are you?
Yeah, how are you doing, Rob?
Good, man.
Yeah, I have a question for the attorney. About maybe 6 years ago, my mom's still living. She's living with me in the house. She turned the house over to my name, and I'm living here. My dad had passed 10 years ago, and I'm just kind of wondering, if she were to pass and if I decide to sell the house, would I have to pay capital gains or inheritance tax or what?
Well, the house, it's your home. It's in your name.
Right.
And there is no capital gains taxes on your home. When you sell your home, I think it's like $550,000. The first $550,000 is exempt from capital gains taxes. So assuming your house is worth that much or less. Well, yeah, so then you don't have an issue. That's not a capital gains problem. It's only when it's not your home that you have to pay capital gains taxes.
So there wouldn't be no inheritance tax or anything like that?
No,
either, right?
No, it's already in your name.
And if I were to decide to sell the home and maybe get like a condo or something down, you know, in a few years down the road, since when she sold the home to me, very small price. I don't even remember what it was, but it was probably $10 or something. Would I have to pay capital gains tax on the home for the full value?
No, you don't have to pay capital gains taxes when you sell your home, as long as the gain's not greater than like $550,000.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye. Isn't it nice when you give people good news?
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while. Let's go to Joanne Polish Hill. Hey, mm-hmm. Joanne, how are you?
I think you've been answering my question and probably a lot of other people's questions about that. Whenever you're inheriting a house from a parent and they've got that life endowment for living in that house, and then when they die, you inherit the house, and if you should happen to sell it, do you have to pay any kind of tax on it?
Well,
and I think what you're saying is as long as you're living in that house, you don't have to pay tax, and there's no capital gains tax if you should happen to sell it.
The sale of your home is exempt from capital gains taxes, provided that the gain is not greater than like $550,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, if you sell your home, you do not have to pay capital gains taxes. The problem comes in when somebody takes their home and they put into their kids' names because they don't want to pay inheritance taxes, and then the kids don't live there. Mom or dad passes away, then the kids sell the house, they get the money, and then in January or February of the following year, they get a 1099 for the sale of the house, and they give it to their accountant and they say, what's this all about? And they said, well, you sold that house, it's not your home, you have to pay capital gains taxes.
Yeah, the key there is if you're living in that house. That makes all the difference.
If it's your home. That's, your home is exempt from capital gains taxes up to a certain
amount. All right, thank you.
Okay, boy, that was a big, that's three or four questions of that one.
Listen, take a breath for a second. I'll do my little thing, and then I want you to summarize today's show. Can't remind you enough, folks, call them, 724-942-6200, 724-942-6200. If you want to find out in depth what they do, go to Pittsburgh. Elder, E-L-D-E-R, law.com. Go right there and find out everything you need to know. Call that number. Leave your first and last name and a phone number. You can do it right now, 724-942-6200. McKeesport, McMurray, Wexford, Bradenton, and Pompano Beach. Snowbirds will be headed there. Obviously, snow going to be here later this week. And always nice to think Florida. And also nice to know you got stuff down there you need to take care of. Maybe that winter home, he can handle all of that as well, too. So you got a couple of minutes. Just summarize. We had a busy hour.
That was a great lead-in. In fact, something I did want to talk about. For those of you that are heading to Florida, I do a lot of work in Florida. I line it up all winter long. Right now I have got two new clients that live in the Villages, one that lives in Bradenton itself, another one in Port Charlotte, one in Lighthouse Point, and one in Plantation, Florida. So I do a lot of work. I go down about once or twice a month during the winter months, and I see my Pittsburgh-based clients down there. We do a lot of talking about, is it better to be a Floridian or a Pennsylvanian for their particular circumstances? A lot of times it's better to be a Floridian because there's no inheritance taxes and there's no income taxes. But I do a lot of counseling on both of those topics.
I had a friend just tell me about the Villages last week. We came up, he said, it's amazing.
My next-door neighbor, this guy, he's...
Is that where you live? Part-time, the Villages?
No, I go down there.
Okay.
My next-door neighbor, he used to live around here. He was 91 years old, and he sounded like he was 91 years old. He moved down there last year. He called me 2 days ago. He sounded fantastic. He sounded like he was 50 years old. Yeah.
Fountain of youth.
Playing golf, lots of friends, lots to do.
Remember Ponce de Leon, St. Augustine, he said, the fountain of youth, I must find it from Mother Spain, right? Hey, listen, before I let you go, we have a lot of fun. We get a lot of information out there. But as I mentioned to you, if it wasn't for you and your law firm, certain things I've done, like even power of attorney, would have been put off because out of sight, out of mind. And when you're a bachelor, you just think, you know, hey, we'll get to it when we get to it. It's important that we remind the audiences this year, this very unique and very sad year for many people because of this pandemic. If there was ever a time to remind them, button it up, get it done, get it off your plate and get on to enjoying life, especially if you're a senior and you're retired. Don't wait. Handle this stuff,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
All right. Tell me about your law firm before we go. 1 minute.
Okay. Zachariah Brown. We've got offices, Wexford, McKeesport, McMurray, PittsburghElderLaw.com. And, we can help you with anything related to getting older or estate planning, wills and powers of attorney and trusts and probate and tax work and all that sort of thing. So there's a lot of things that we do.
So if I move with your buddy down there to Florida, I might feel like a whole new man.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
But we're going to start. I think we're moving to Saturdays now. We're going to do two Saturdays a month. I'm not sure when exactly, but that's coming up.
It's great to have you here because you know what? It's twofold. Not only I help you, but you help my listeners, and that's a good deal.
Always a pleasure. Thank you all.
Thank you, buddy. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up, and then just a couple of segments of Get Well Naturally, the Weiner Wellness Center. They're going to be with me also on Wednesday night at 7, but they're here for just a half hour today, and then we roll right into the Pitt broadcast. Pitt getting ready to take on Clemson. Ladies and gentlemen, have yourself a great day. We'll be back at it first thing tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. You got Pitt Clemson today, and I hope that the Panthers can live up to this opponent because it's going to be a tall task. But maybe, hey, they just may perform another miracle. They had a good run against Clemson a couple of years ago and shocked the world. Maybe they can do it again today. Have a great day, everybody.